Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You may be seated. Well, I didn't say so in prayer requests and praises, but I have sort of a double prayer request and praise, and that's because last night, as I typically do, I'm finishing things up and working on Sunday's sermon, and there was lightning around our house, and suddenly my laptop decided it didn't like its battery anymore, it didn't like its power connection anymore, it won't charge, it won't do anything. Now, this is my workhorse laptop that's now 6 years old, but praise the Lord, I had a second laptop, and I store most of my stuff online. So I was able to get that back when I lit up the newer laptop that I knew that I would have to change over sometime here. It's still a few years old because I'm cheap. I buy the stuff off lease. But at any rate, God provided for that. It did put a little jolt in the system, but I'll have some more work to do to make that work. But I'm grateful to God that he already provided the backup, and that even with the challenges, he has a special message for us today. Now, I don't like to go chasing Satan's. I don't look for devils under every rock. You know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I don't need to do that. And I don't need to say that it was the devil that knocked my laptop out. It was, you know, there was a lot of weather going on. And God's responsible for the weather, after all. We'll lay that one on him, because that's more than we can do. In this broken world that kind of has its pushes and shoves and upsets, it's still God that's responsible for the weather and surrounding his people and everything else. So today, as we get into this idea that my third message, the ghost on the ghost of God, the ghost in the room, the ghost of God is practical, and that is because this is the ghost that never leaves us. And so this is an important part of the whole message of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, which is the ghost in the room I'm talking about during this October season when you can't go anywhere without seeing nutty decorations and whatever else it is for Halloween celebrations. And you know what? It's only Christmas that Americans spend more money on than Halloween, which is rather sad. It's only Christmas that Americans spend more money on. And so this gives you a little idea of how we're kind of messed up. So I wanted to talk about the good ghost as we go on. And this isn't Casper the Friendly Ghost, no. This is of the holy, powerful Spirit of God. That's our ghost. Ghost is the word that's used in the King James, that age of translation into English, because that was a better translation of this word that in Greek can mean wind or spirit or ghost. And so it was a useful translation then, and it stayed with us even to now. And so we can learn to understand it. Now, when I did a computer search on the word spirit in the New Testament, it shows up 367 times. Now, of course, several times, a lot of that is talking about our own spirit, or the spirit of good, or the spirit of evil, or whatever else. So I didn't want to deal with those too much. So to be more specific to our theme, I did the search on specifically Holy Ghost, and I looked in the 1599 Geneva Bible, which was the English Standard Bible, the Standard English Bible that was published before the King James Version was available, that was available for pulpit use, for preachers, for study in the English language. And so that was the common Bible in churches before people had their own, and that was the Geneva Bible. It sounds very, very much like the King James when you read those verses. But it had that word Holy Ghost show up 97 times. So clearly, it's an important theme for us. Our study of the ghost of God, as I say, is important. And just if you look at the number of times he's mentioned in the New Testament, we're not going to try to hit every facet of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're not going to try to hit all the things that I had first lined up in my list of scriptures for today. I'll have enough as it goes on anyway. But we do want to look at some specific ways that we find the Holy Ghost at work for the purposes of God and the people of God, and especially for the church of God. Some things vital for our lives as Christians are the truth that the presence of God is in us and for us and through us. It's the ghost that never leaves us, the Holy Ghost of God, because this is a gift that God gives us because of his Son's own prayers for our good. Now, just to remind you of where we were already on these themes, the outline of topics of the Holy Ghost for October, I began with the ghost of God is personal, and those three X's behind are just my finger landing on the keyboard when I had a little narcolepsy going on, working on a little quick nap, and I didn't catch this as I looked at the notes this morning. But the ghost of God is personal, and that's as part of the Trinity. The Holy Ghost is a person with God the Father and God the Son, the three in one. We can have direct conversation with the Holy Spirit. He's not just a conduit of the mind of God, but he is also the mind of God. This ghost in the room, he's going to be faithful to interpret our words to the Father and the Son. And you can read that in Romans chapter 8. And it is the Spirit that is the personal presence of God in us. That's how we can carry God around. God is Spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth. The Holy Spirit is a piece, but at the same time, a whole of God. The Son of God, Jesus, a piece, but at the same time, the whole of God. The Father God, we think of really as the whole of God, encompassing it all. But we have the three in one. But the ghost of God is personal. It's not just a phone line. It's not just a blessings chute. It's none of that. It's a person. We can talk with the Holy Spirit. Last week I talked about the fact that the ghost of God is our paraclete. The transliteration from the Greek word that really has a very important meaning. Jesus said he would send us another helper to be with us, comforter. It's translated sometimes the paraclete, a Greek word that means the voice beside us, also named counselor or named advocate or helper, as it's translated. The paraclete is on our side, but is never against God, since he is part of him. And then today I'm going to talk about the idea that the ghost of God is practical. And we're going to study a little bit about how the Holy Spirit is a practical sense of what we need. We're going to look at how the ghost in the room helps us meet our needs with God's means, not our own ideas and talents. And yet one way that happens is by God working in us, working through us, enhancing our own abilities so that what he has given us from birth and what we have never realized before will be blessed for serving the church. The practical sense of the Holy Spirit is both for us, but most especially for the whole church. Now, next week, I'm going to share about how the ghost of God is powerful, teaching about the power that God gives the church through his Holy Spirit. Powerful is an adjective that we often use in reference to the Holy Ghost, the ghost in the room. And then the last Sunday of October, the 30th, we'll talk about the ghost of God is present. Now, presence of God is mixed in with everything I am talking about, because you can't really talk about the Holy Spirit without understanding the Holy Spirit is already present. I just wanted to hit that at that last week as I wrap these things together and wrap these things up, that we can be certain of that. The nature of the Holy Spirit's presence with us, there are no other ghosts to fear when the Holy Ghost is ours. No other ones to fear. Even though they'll make noise and they'll try and get in the way, none to fear, none to fear. Okay, Bobby, you gave me a very crackly way to drink the water. Can you get me a scoop up, please, out of the fridge? Can you give me a different water? Yeah, this one's, I'm making too much noise every time I try and use this one. All right, so a little snap top on a small bottle in case you're just listening with all the cracks there. I feel a little too noisy when I use that, and my mouth is pretty dry, so I'd like to have the water. Thank you so much, Bobby. So on to our study for today. How is the ghost of God practical? How is the Holy Spirit practical? Practical in a lot of ways. Practical for our own lives in Christ, practical for our lives in the church, and practical for our witness to the world. The Holy Ghost as the presence of God in our lives, as the helper that God, that we have in our lives, is the one who's also practical for what is needed in our lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, "For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God." You see the practical nature of that, that we might understand, that we can't comprehend the thoughts of God except the spirit brings them. Thank you so much, Bobby. We also don't want to be misled by the spirit of the world. We want to make sure we're connected with the spirit who is from God. Now, since the ghost of God is practical, and the ghost of God is given for our good and the good of the church, we have to remember in all things that the Holy Ghost knows our needs. See, it's a two-way street. The Holy Ghost in us is not just pouring into us from God, is also bringing our own thoughts and prayers back to God. Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit interprets our prayers, the groanings that are too deep for words, that sometimes is all we can express. The Holy Spirit brings that request to God and said, this is exactly what it is, a practical use. He's taking our mumblings and he's bringing them to God and said, this is what's needed. And so it's a two-way street how this goes. But in order to know the heart of God, we need the Spirit of God. But when that happens, the Holy Ghost knows our needs. It's tremendously important. It's a reminder of his knowledge, of God's knowing of our circumstances. He's not a God that just set things in motion and started the clock ticking and walked away. You know, he didn't just wind the clock spring and go. God is always active and present, life and living is a God-powered machine. It's not something left to something God made. It's a God-powered machine. And so when we think about how the Holy Ghost knows our needs, it happens because of his presence. It happens because of the circumstances we have. It happens because of the setting of the church, the instant needs of the church, all of this. The tie between what we're doing and what we need to be doing. Not only that, but we can experience the Holy Ghost in our lives and also declare and defend this truth according to Scripture, that the Holy Ghost not only knows our needs, but the Holy Ghost meets our needs. Now, these thoughts are wrapped up in Scriptures that I will share in a moment, so I didn't separate Scriptures from these titles right now. They're just part of the overall covering I want you to understand. The Holy Ghost knows our needs, and so through the Holy Ghost, God meets our needs. And that's all kinds of needs that we have. And when we declare that the Holy Ghost meets our needs, we're reminded that it's done for God's own purposes. Most certainly what we need to be so that we can be certain of God. So most certainly so we can have an idea of his goal and his dreams for us in the church. And so that we can be sure of God's plans to meet those needs we have in our lives and for the church. It's one reason we pray, is because we believe God, through his Holy Spirit, will meet our needs. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Godhead, the Trinity, the three in one. The Holy Spirit knows and in most ways is the mind of God in our midst. We get little doses so we're not overwhelmed. I just reminded just briefly of an old Star Trek episode where the team is down at this moon-sized spaceship and they're trying to figure things out, and they have this little cap of knowledge or something that that the selected goddess there is the one that usually gets all of that, but their computer was having some troubles and Spock decided he'd get involved with that, and he got a little too wrapped up in that. But then the doctor needed knowledge on how to get Spock back on the right track, and so he put on that cap of power, and it about blew his brains out. If we were to get the whole mind of God at one dose, it would pretty much blow our brains out. There's no way that we can fathom or understand or apprehend all of God. So the Holy Spirit is that little safety valve, too, so that we get what we need when we need it, and that Holy Ghost meets our needs. The instant application of the mind of God to our needs, because the Holy Spirit of presence is always grounded in the Bible. The Spirit of God is never going to counter the Word of God. You can't say the Holy Spirit told me to divorce my wife because the Bible says, God says I hate divorce. So, you know that's not the Holy Spirit's voice. That's something else going on. You can't say that the Holy Spirit told me to set aside the Word of God, because the Holy Spirit will always be confirmed by the Word of God. You can't go a different direction than the Bible, than the revealed Word of God, because you believe there was a spirit that told you so. That spirit would be a spirit of the world, not a spirit of God. You have to understand that that's a reality. The Spirit of God is never going to counter the revealed Word of God, never going to lead us down a path that's outside the truth of the Bible. Now, as we move along, let's look at some of these practical ways that we experience the Holy Ghost, the ghost in the room, the Spirit of God. And one of these is kind of a grounding point. It shows up at the end of some of the letters in the book, or in the middle of some of Paul's writings, and not so much in the gospel, because it's about how we understand God after the crucifixion and resurrection, when the Holy Spirit is given. And one of the things that we discover is the Scripture tells us, and our hearts understand, that the ghost of God will confirm salvation in our hearts and in our soul. Sometimes some people wonder, am I really saved? Am I really ready for heaven? Did God really touch me? I mean, that's a valid question. Our minds are rather easily diverted, and our emotions will get in the way of our knowledge, and all of these things can mess us up a lot. So the Holy Ghost is one of those tools that God uses to confirm our salvation. Paul talks about it in Romans 8:14-16. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, if you're wandering around wondering, just ask the Spirit to give the witness of that, because the Spirit is there for that. If you're submitted to Jesus Christ, if you've laid yourself on the altar and thank God for His gift and His forgiveness, and put yourself under the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit will confirm, bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and that's when we can burst out saying, well, I had one man in another congregation would once in a while say, hey, Daddy, it's your kid, in prayers. You know, Abba, Father. To know God that way is part of the confirmation of salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, whoever keeps his commands abides in God and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit he's given us. So that Spirit within is that confirmation of God's abiding, his presence, his inward dwelling. And later in that same book, chapter 5, verse 6, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. Bears witness with our heart and testifies what is true and reminds us that we are the children of God. And Paul even goes on to say that he who searches the hearts in Romans 8:27 knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. All of these things wrapped up in God's personal connection with us through his Holy Spirit, so that we might be led by the Spirit of God, that we might know we are the children of God, that we might have that witness with our own spirit, the Spirit that reminds us that God abides in us, the Spirit who testifies of the reality of our salvation through Jesus Christ, and the Spirit who intercedes for us as his saints of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. A guarantee. All of these things that we must do. In 2 Corinthians, there's a real task, and Paul was working very hard on how that was supposed to work out. And he was able to say, in the first chapter, he said, you know, I was so stressed, I was about to die. Mary, you want to understand that just a little bit. First chapter of 2 Corinthians reminds that, but also says how the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the church, helped to save me by God's grace. But here he says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. He who has prepared us for this very thing, this task at hand, is God, and he's given us his Spirit as a guarantee. As a guarantee. We wonder where we are in this, what God is about. Well, just speak with the Spirit about it, because that is part of God's guarantee in you, through you, for you. And Paul also said in the first chapter of Ephesians, another confirmation of salvation, to just put a bookend on this piece of the outline. It says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, the possession is about our inheritance, when we finally get all that God has for us in our our final address, which is in the presence of God. Until we acquire that, we have the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee to us, to the praise of his glory. See, the Spirit, just like the Son, will always work that God be glorified, that God be glorified. And so the ghost of God is the guarantee of our salvation, and also the ghost of God proclaims the word of God. And as I said earlier, the the Holy Spirit will never go against the revealed word of God that we have in the Bible. And so we always know that, and we have promises of that in the Bible. Where does the word come from? How does that happen when we need it? In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, this is one of our verses. It should be in your memory someplace. You know, put it in your memory if it's not over already there. Because when we wonder if we're going to have what we need to say when we're challenged, in Mark we have this for coming from Jesus. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say what is given to you in that hour, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit proclaiming God's word through us, even when it's just to save our own necks sometimes. But it, you know, not every saint of God who was on trial saved their necks. Many of them lost their heads. Many of them suffered greatly. But, you know, the reality was the Holy Spirit never left them, which is why they were able to do that. And John records, of course, the verse about the Paraclete, but the Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So there's Jesus, the Word of God, saying his disciples that through the Spirit of God, we would remember what Jesus taught us, the Word of God through us, by the Holy Spirit. The Ghost of God proclaims the Word. An example of that shows up in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, proclaims the Word of God. Here they were. Pentecost, big crowds of people, lots of languages. The Holy Spirit had just come to them and given them this gift to proclaim the Word of God in every language necessary, and gave this gift to those who heard, so that wherever they were from, they heard it in their own language. That is the Spirit of God proclaiming the Word of God, both for speaking and for listening. And that's an amazing miracle of God. And then in John chapter 14, back to what Jesus said to his disciples in these last days, there's a series of this. We have to remember that in order to count on the Spirit of God being active in our lives, we have to be on the right side of the truth. We have to stand with Jesus. Jesus said, I'll just show you how many times it happened right here in this passage, in this section. John 14, 15 to 17, if you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus was with them. The helper would be in them. But you notice the bracket that comes before that. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father so that he would give you that other helper. Let's make sure we're on the right side of the truth. And the truth is what Jesus tells us, what Jesus has instructed us, those basic commandments of love: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, love your neighbor as yourself, love others who are under the blood of Christ as Jesus loves them as well. Those three basic things are essential to all we do, and in those things are wrapped up all the law and the prophets. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In verse 21, same chapter, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. I will love him and manifest myself to him. The manifestation is the Holy Spirit welling up in the believer. And John 14, 23, Jesus answered Judas at this case, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Holy Ghost is given that the Word of God would be proclaimed to those who are sealed in their salvation and will never go against what Jesus has already taught. Whoever has my commandments and keep them. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word. The verse before that was, let's see, back up a page here. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father. You see, we can't just walk in and disregard Jesus and expect the Holy Spirit to live in our lives. We can't just disregard God and expect the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, because that Holy Spirit will connect us. If we're having a little struggle with that connection, that Holy Spirit can make it stronger if you rely on what God is doing through the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I've heard some preachers even say we should be praying to the Holy Spirit, because that's our direct communication with God. But don't worry about it. You can pray to God the Father. You can pray to God the Spirit. You can pray to God the Son. All of it is good. And then the important part for the church is this, that the Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, is given for the good of all. So the Holy Spirit is there to confirm our salvation. The Holy Spirit is there to make sure the Word of God is proclaimed. And the Holy Spirit, the Ghost of God, is here for the good of all. For the good of the church in this case. And that's what I want us to be thinking about. Well, the good of those who need the Word of God and those who listen and those who are around, certainly. But most especially for the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. As Paul was dealing with a rowdy bunch in Corinth, he says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. And every time you appears in this passage, it's plural. This is a word to the church. Oh, you can take it as an individual, but make sure you understand, too, that that's because you are part of that plural you. Just like a preacher standing here saying you, well, that's the plural you. I'm not pointing out a single one. I'm talking about us. And Jesus, through Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is reminding the church of this. Do not you, y'all, is the way sometimes I say it, just to make sure it's plain. Do y'all not know that y'all are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in y'all? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and y'all are that temple. You see, we're in this together, and the Ghost of God, the Holy Spirit, is given for the good of all. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, as Paul begins to speak a little more specifically, he's going to be speaking concerning spiritual gifts, the grace gifts, those things that come because of the Holy Spirit among us and within us. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. He goes on to some other things he says in the middle of that. But I want us to look at this and look at how God is being practical as the Holy Spirit, the Ghost of God is practical, because God is using this Holy Spirit for the good of his church. And he does that through the gifts that he gives to various people. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. That's a verse that proclaims God the Father, God the Son, our Lord, and God the Holy Spirit. And it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. These variety of gifts, we'll look at them in just a second. But we always have to remember, they're given to you all. You might have an individual gift, but it is for the good of all. And that's why there's a very key verse in all of this talk about the Holy Spirit within us and what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, for us, and through us, whether it be by confirming our salvation, proclaiming the word, or by working for the good of all. Here is the verse. It's 1 Corinthians 12:7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, if you look that up in something like Bible Gateway, and look at all the different translations of 1 Corinthians 12:7, you can kind of get your brain wrapped up among those. But it's a very important verse. The Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, are given to each. Now we're singular, right? Each person is given specific expressions of the Holy Spirit, specific enablings of the Holy Spirit, specific talents given by the Holy Spirit, specific amplifications of abilities through the Holy Spirit for the common good. You see, the Ghost of God is given for the good of all. It's not private, it's not just mine, it's not just yours. It's ours. And whatever gift God gives me is meant to be shared with you. Whatever gift God gives you is meant to be shared with the rest of us. By our working, by our power, the spiritual gifts are never to be private and personal and just mine. The scripture says it's for the common good. That's a key verse. We go on from there in verses 8 to 10. And these just lists some of the gifts right here. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Now that clearly needs to be shared. To another, the utterance of knowledge. Yeah, that needs to be shared. We need to know what to do. It comes by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. You see, we need to know that you can stand firm no matter what else happens, because maybe I'm not living in that space and I need your faith. That gift God gives you to help my faith sometimes. Sometimes we call on someone we know that will exhibit faith because we're wondering if our faith is strong enough for the moment. It's given for the good of all. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Now, God will heal us often when we pray to him. We ask for personal healing. God will give us personal healing. But, you know, God's empowered some people with that special gift to share that gift of healing with others around them through prayer, through touch, through anointing, whatever it might be. James chapter 5 says that, you know, if you're sick, call the elders together. They'll anoint you with oil. They'll pray over you. The prayers of a righteous person, which is the prayers of Christ through us, avails much. They will be healed. Well, there's also confess your sins to one another, and you will be healed. That's part of that in James chapter 5. So, you know, we have to make sure we're in this together. The gifts of the Spirit are for the good of all. So healing is to be shared. To another, the working of miracles. Well, that's to be shared. Some of us need to walk on water once in a while. Some of us need to make sure that car works from here to our destination. Some of us need to know that God will surround us with his protecting angels. Some of us need to see that God is doing more than we can do through one of his called people. That is to be shared. That is for the good of all. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with a lunch-sized bag of fish, well, that was Jesus exhibiting a gift of miracles for the good of all. He didn't do that because he wanted to show off. He did that because they were hungry. Mary didn't do the fair to show off. She did that because there was a need. And God is using her in a special way. And yes, miracles happen, Mary. To another, prophecy. And that is speaking the word of God as people need to hear it in the moment, reminding people of what has happened, how God has worked, of God's word, and once in a while, giving us an endpoint, something that's going to happen because of it. but it has to line up with God's word always. And that gift of prophecy is speaking the word of God in the present for the good of all. It's not a show-off gift, it's a sharing gift. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. This is discernment. And you know what? There needs to be discernment in the church. I had one, when I was visiting one Sunday at a particular Pentecostal church, that one of their habits was if an itinerant preacher came by and said, "I have a word for the church," well, he'd give them the pulpit for a while. Now, one of those times that happened, and I was visiting the church, and the pastor came up and asked me, said, "What spirit did you discern from him?" And I said, "That was not the Spirit of God." And he said, "I didn't think so." Now, was that special? No, that was sharing. That was discernment for the good of all. And so that person wanted to be there for a week, and he was taught more accurately the word of God and let go. Discernment is for the good of all. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Those are sharing gifts. Now, Paul said, yeah, I can go in my prayer closet and I can speak heavenly language, so that's a praying gift, that's fine, but that's between you and God. But sometimes interpretation, whether it is by the skill of language, the gift of language, the miracle of language, is to share God's word. And hearing, discernment, interpretation of tongues. Why? Because we need to know God's word. If someone is given a heavenly utterance, someone else needs to know that heavenly language. Paul says in chapter 14 that if both the speaking and the interpretation are not in the room, then set that aside for another time. Discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation, all of these things. Now, Paul goes on to say in verse 11, he says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. And then we go back to verse 7 to remind us that they're all given for the good of the church, for the good of the body. And that's reminded to us in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. If you have a gift, it's my gift. If I have a gift, it's your gift. When we're all together, we share the gifts of God for the common good. Yours is mine, mine is yours, as long as it works for God's purposes. And it will work when we submit ourselves to Christ. Paul confirms that in Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, the one hope of heaven, of salvation, of ending up where we need to be. Now, the ghost of God is practical. He's in the room to create what needs to happen in us, for us, through us, for the good of all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift, that we might be able to use what God has given us for practical purposes for the church. This is a reality, and it goes on in Ephesians 4. He gave the apostles, those are the ones who establish a work and speak new truth into the minds of those who haven't heard before. There is the prophets, those who speak the word of God in the need of the moment. The evangelists, those who share the salvation message of God and who are given that gift to know what to share, when to share, so the Holy Spirit responds to that. And there are the shepherds and the teachers, pastors and teachers. Some read that together, pastor teachers, some separate them, but whatever. You know, a pastor is not given so that he might hide in it from other people. Even though I'm an introvert and I like to be alone, I'm here to also be with you, care for you, stand with you when you have a need, to represent Christ in your midst sometimes, to remind you that God has never left you. And then in this role as a teacher. Why? Practical. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Now, there's a bunch of other verses that I set aside because I knew that I would easily go way over time. But I want you to be reminded that God doesn't give the Holy Spirit just so you can have it and keep it and take it with you. Now, the Holy Spirit God gives is to help to sanctify and purify us, and that's another level of the purpose of the Holy Spirit, but to make us pure so that we might know God's Word and understand God's Word and know Christ's command and be reminded of Christ's commandments, all of this, there's that personal aspect to seal our salvation, to set us on the right path. There is that communal aspect, you know, that shared reality that this one who stands next to us, this personal God who stands next to us, is also a very practical God. We're going to talk about how he's powerful. We're going to talk about the reality of his presence a lot. But when the Spirit visits you to take your talents and enhance it, to amplify your talents for the good of others, to give you the ability to do something you never knew you could do, it is for the good of all. That's why the Spirit of God, the Ghost of God, is practical. He's practical for your faith. He's practical for the church. Practical to expand the Word of God in the Word. So let's seek that Spirit, that our lives also might be practical, good for the work of the church, good for the growth of the body, good for one another. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have offered yourself in your Holy Spirit, in your Son, in yourself, who we can say, Abba, Father, as part of the family, making us children of God so that we might be sealed in that knowledge. Help us to remember that very word of God, even as we ask that you give us utterance when we need it, when we don't know what to say, help us know what to say, that we might proclaim that word of God. And Lord, in the church, as you empower us, help us remember that all you give to us is for the good of others as well. Thank you for enriching our lives, for making us what we weren't before, for bringing us from terror to glory. And Lord, help our lives to give you glory in all we do as your Holy Spirit works out the practical gifts you have given for the good of your church. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.